isn't very cheap, Aaron, the next one too. So we had elections down at the fire hall, we do it every May, and I'm back in again. So this will be working on my 15th year as fire chief, so.
Phil, how many years have you been with the fire department here?
24.
Make a motion to approve Phil Monahan as fire chief.
Second.
Motion second, any discussion? Roll call. And Phil, you get it one more year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I need to say 7-0?
Nope.
Okay.
7-0. We'll let you know if there's any dissension.
All right, next item is public hearing for the application for a Class D liquor license. Ginny LLC, doing business as Fast Pick, which is located at 310 South Main Street, which is presently Lutt Oil and Service. And at this time, I will open the public hearing. This is an opportunity, if you choose to come up to the stand, tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe why you purchased Lutt Oil. Here's a shameless plug, I guess, opportunity to talk about your business.
My name's Hamal Patel. I've been in the business, gas station business, for 16 years. I have a place in Fremont, one in Oakland, and this just happened to come up. Actually, the broker that sold me to Oakland was the same broker, and that's how I found out about Lutt Oil. So, everything worked out.
Okay.
Purchased it. I plan on fixing it up a little bit, cleaning it up, putting the equipment, maybe put food items in there going forward.
Okay.
Slowly, Wayne's still working over there, so the shop's staying open till he's around.
When does the changeover happen?
First of this month.
Oh, it already has? Okay.
Yeah, it already has.
Okay.
Are you keeping the car wash?
Yes.
Awesome.
Any other questions?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
Welcome to Wayne.
Anyone else wishing to speak at the public hearing? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Next item is Resolution 2025-30, approving the application for Class D liquor license, Ginny LLC, doing business as Fast Pick, which is located at 310 South Main Street, formerly Lutt Oil and Service.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion?
Yeah, I was wondering if there's any gas stations in town that don't have a Class D, or if they all have Class Ds.
I don't think so. I'm thinking the last one was probably Shortstop. The four is probably the last one, I would say.
Yeah. Probably all do.
Yeah.
All right.
The same.
Any other discussion, questions? Roll call.
7-0.
And the resolution has been approved. Item number 11 is the action on the request of the Wayne Chicken Show Committee to close the following streets for the 45th annual Halloween Chicken Show celebration.
Good evening. Luke Virgil, Director of Economic Development. On behalf of the Chicken Show Committee, we'd like to make a couple of changes to what has usually been the same song and dance for the last several years. I believe in the packet there's the letter that Rachel put together describing with text the different closures, but I would ask you to direct your attention first to the 2025 Halloween proposal, because this is where the biggest changes are being requested. Traditionally, this event has been hosted at the intersection of 3rd and Main, about a half a block from the Wayne America office. We take the street closure from 4th Street, because that's where the radius works for truck traffic to make a detour. And then it goes to Logan and South, the detour does. The closure goes from 4th all the way to the north side of the intersection of 1st and Main, so right next to the State Farm office. This year, we are looking at doing something different in the interest of consolidating our guests into a more, I don't want to say confined area. This is a very large area. But it's always felt strange to me that we stretch across two or three city blocks with all of our patrons. And some of the best parking is along 2nd and 3rd Streets with the Angle Park. And so we lose a lot of opportunity for patron parking at this event by closing those side streets. The road closure would start on the north end at the intersection of 2nd and Main, so right in front of State Nebraska Bank and Thrift Warehouse. We would proceed all the way south to Fairgrounds Avenue, and that would be on the north side of that intersection in front of Wayne Auto Parts and the Lidner buildings. We've proposed to put a block on the intersection of 1st and Main so that traffic from the west heading east on 1st Street does not impede the Chicken Show patrons or the Halloween patrons. We've talked with the immediately adjacent affected businesses. The folks from 1st and Main North, we didn't really talk to too much, just because they are used to having a street closure and the patrons right in their front yard. And we did talk with State Farm a little bit. We talked with Carhartt a lot. We talked with Wayne Auto Parts, and we talked with Godfather's, because they are active businesses that would be open at the point of when we were requesting the closure to start. Carhartt is comfortable with what we are proposing here, and that includes some of the assets being placed on their private property. The other big thing that we are adding is a proposed beer garden. And until we had permission to use the Riley's property from council, we did not want to take any further steps. However, we did have several discussions with Chief Chin about whether or not this was doable. It has been done in the past in this similar neighborhood. It has been done in the past on Main Street, but Chief advised that we do not put it on the actual Main Street because that is DOT right-of-way, and we don't want to mess with their stuff. So that's why the gray area immediately north of Wayne Auto Parts is where we're proposing to put the beer garden. This is adjacent to the stage, which is kind of the green block on the east side of Wayne Auto Parts. And then we'd have food vendors making kind of an arc. We'd have inflatables for the kids on the west side of in the Main Street right away. The knickknack vendors, the yellows kind of parking for, it could be patrons, but primarily volunteers and vendors. And then when we talked with Chief Chin about this entire layout, he discussed the alley, especially by Carhartt, where you can come from the north, which would directly impact some of our patrons within the Carhartt property. When we talked with Carhartt's, we said we would be willing to look at having them listed as an additional insured on the policy for this event, just because we're going to be using their private property. The last thing I'll bring to your attention is on the west side in front of Godfather's. We talked with Phil Anderson about this. His parking lot does sometimes become a turnaround. With the proposed street closure on the east side of his lot, it would become a de facto turnaround for traffic trying to either park on the north side of the street. They could come into his lot and then go back to the north parking stalls. Or if they're trying to exit the street after coming out of the south parking stalls on 1st. So this is where major changes is, and I want to give everybody a chance to ask questions at this time.
This is a radical improvement. I really like this a lot. I do have one thing that I always liked about Halloween being where it traditionally has been is once the sun does go down, there is shade on that street. And I think with this, the only critique I would say of this is that what do we offer for people in terms of shade? Because that weekend can be horribly hot.
We are working with the fairgrounds. They have those big cattle shades out on the fairgrounds property throughout the Wayne County Fair, and looking at using those to place on the Riley's property. That way the concrete doesn't get quite as hot. And the purpose of putting the beer garden on the grass was a little bit of safety and also to keep it a little cooler.
I think it's fantastic. Seeing the layout is
a great idea. Yeah. Is there any other questions on the Halloween proposal? The 2nd and 3rd maps are similar to previous years. Wrestler Park would be relatively unchanged as far as the layout. The only thing, the purple in the bottom left where it says a petting zoo, we are not contracting with a petting zoo service. They are no longer in business. They came from the Allen area. And so that will be, there might be a different activity. We're working with a couple of different options out of some different vendors. The third sheet would be for the car show, or and this has been renamed in honor of Kirk Summerfield since he passed away within the last year. But it's very similar to previous years where along 2nd Street, we have that car show and that road blockage going to the west, and then it turns north on Pearl. And I know the Lay family and State Nebraska Bank has been very gracious to let them use kind of their drive-through as a shade for their registration. That's where they usually set up camp.
Okay, any other questions for Luke?
Move to approve the request of the Wayne Chicken Show Committee to close the following streets for the 24th Annual Halloween Chicken Show Celebration. Can I just say as listed?
Second.
As stated.
Yeah, unless you want any changes.
Second as requested.
Motion and second. Any other discussion? Roll call.
7-0.
And the action has passed. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you. I'll stay at the rostrum. There's a couple more items on there.
Okay. Next item is Resolution 2025-31, acknowledging requirements for the temporary use of the state highway system for special events, Halloween and Chicken Show, July 11th, 12th, and 13th. And I assume this is kind of what the state requires when we want to close this state highway down. Correct. So is this
Marlon?
So Marlon, I assume you have 2 cents to give to us?
It's normal. Normal housekeeping for us.
Gotcha.
This is what's required by NDOT for in order to get closure of the state highway for the event.
Okay.
I'll introduce Resolution 2025-31, acknowledging the requirements for the temporary use of the state highway system for special events, specifically the Halloween and Chicken Show, July 11th, 12th, and
13th.
Second. Okay, motion and second. Any other discussion? The only thing I'd like to add is I know our city staff, street department, they do a great job getting everything ready. It's not a surprise when this is coming. They always are ready and seems to be never any other issues that arise because of how smoothly things go by
them. Also, street and parks. Both departments do a great job.
Right.
And PD.
Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't be able to put this on without
city staff. So, roll call. And the resolution is passed 7-0. Okay, item number 13, action on a request to approve the fireworks display on Saturday, July 12th. 2025 for the Chicken Show Celebration at the Ball Field at Prairie Park.
This is another change.
I was going to say this is an amended part of your amended agenda because this was on Friday on July 11th and changed to Saturday, July 12th.
The reason we have requested a change to Saturday is when we did fireworks last year on Friday night and we had a live band on Main Street, once the test shot went off, our patrons scattered. So we are hoping to retain patrons on the Riley's property for that Halloween celebration later, and then have the fireworks show on Saturday night to kind of cap the weekend. I know that there is the car show on Sunday yet, but just kind of that evening capped after a long day of celebration for both Chicken Show and the alumni that are in town.
I think it's also a great change.
I would agree.
I'll move to approve the request for a fireworks display on Saturday, July 12th, 2025 for the Chicken Show Celebration at the Ball Field at Prairie Park.
Second.
Motion second. Any other discussion?
This one comes the disclaimer that as long as Phil says it's a green light that night.
Kind of standard every year. So, roll call. And the action has passed 7-0. Item number 14.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Resolution 2025-32, accepting bid and awarding contract on the 15 kV switchgear, 69 kV control panel for the Northeast Substation project.
Paul Davis is on the line. We'll see how this works. We opened bids last week, and we received one bid, and Paul can talk a little bit about that. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, so, thanks for that. Yeah, we received one bid, and this was for the switchgear and control panel at the Northeast Substation. It's basically equipment that will sit inside the control enclosure building that we'll be bidding out in the future. But, we received one bid. We did send it out to a number of bidders. The total price for the switchgear and control panel was $610,000. And then we had a optional relay and meter testing for $12,000 that we included in there too. And we elected that we recommend going with that as well. That's basically testing the relays, meter on the equipment. So that was a total of $622,000. And like I said, we did receive one bid, but it was a manufacturer we've worked with on a number of projects. As far as a good manufacturer that we've worked with, had a number of successful projects with, so I'm confident they will perform well. They were under our estimate, even though we didn't receive just one bid. We are seeing other manufacturers, they also met our schedule too, which we are seeing some manufacturers that are even starting to get farther out there with schedule too. So that was good. Yes, with that, any?
Yeah, Paul, I was going to ask you, do you see any issues with only having the one bid? I know it's obviously well within or under your estimate. Do you see any problems with that?
I don't really. We don't get a lot of bids on switchgear control valve. It's kind of a specialty item. We might get two or three, it seems, at the most. To get one bid, that doesn't surprise me, really. So.
Okay, thanks.
We had a couple questions, Paul. First of all, what was the number that you were anticipating? What was the amount budgeted for this?
Sure. So we had estimated $750,000 for this. So that did come under that. So.
Okay. And I know we had another council member with the question.
That was the same.
For the same question. Okay.
My comment will be HK Schultz does a lot for the generation plant. Clayton, can you speak to it all? Have you worked with HK Schultz at all?
Previously in Seward, I worked with HK Schultz, and recently with the power plant.
Jeff works with them all the time. Yeah. Can't say enough good things about him. So yeah. I think we're getting a good contract.
Yep. So he does great work.
All right. Will this be delivered in time for our project?
I think so. Paul, what was the lead time for this?
Yeah, so our delivery date was August 20th. Of next year.
Okay. And you don't anticipate any problems with meeting that date, do you?
No, I don't. We do have a little bit of leeway on this. If if for some reason they run into an issue, just because of just the way the substation, some of the materials are, the transformer's not expected till 2027. So if we do run into a thing, we do have a little bit of leeway, but don't expect at this time to have any issues.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions for Paul?
No. With that, I'll introduce Resolution 2025-32, accepting the bid of $622,000 and awarding the contract to HKS and Eaton Materials on the 15 kV switchgear, 69 kV control panel for the Northeast Substation project.
Second.
We had a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
He said that amount.
Yeah, he said
that. Yeah, you did. Yep, said the amount.
Sorry.
Roll call. And the resolution is passed, 7-0.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, thank you.
Item number 15, Resolution 2025-33, approving city administrator contract. Myself and the mayor met with Wes last week, kind of go over a couple things, and there's really three items that were changed in the contract, and it was sent out to the council that was highlighted in red. Those three items are, so the last year, or the previous year's contract, we took out the per diem. It's basically a travel per diem, and what that is travel within the city. The city administrator, anytime he leaves the city to go to meetings, example, League of Municipalities meeting in Lincoln, there's the mileage rate. So the per diem that Wes was getting, that was taken out, and after discussion, we found out kind of what it was for and who was already getting it. So we have Brian, who is our IT guy. He gets a per diem because he's driving back and forth to different city buildings, working on the systems, electronic systems, does his IT job. Roger Myers, he is our facilities manager.
Custodian.
He also gets per diem because he goes to city facilities and does his job. And we felt it was a little critical that we took it away because we're requiring Wes to do the exact same thing that Brian and Roger does. You know, Wes going to Prairie Park, you know, Chamber Coffee, there's, you know, numerous other things. So that was added back in. So he is getting that. The date has been changed, so this contract is for 17 months rather than 12 months. And the reason we did that is his contract expires the end of November under this proposal. And the reason we did that is if we happen to have a new mayor, new council members could get voted in at that time. And if I would say it gives Wes the option if he chooses not to stay. You know, it's kind of an easy separation. If we have a new mayor, new council, and something comes up, it just kind of puts everything in line to where the election is. So that was kind of another thing. And then also the raise. City employees got a raise last year at the end of the year, a certain rate, and Wes got that as well. The only caveat to that is, at the end of the year, Wes does not get a raise, so he is locked in at this percentage.
17 months.
Yeah, for 17 months. So, and it will come when it comes down to, you know, the average of city administrators. You know, Wes is, he's right there, comparable with everyone else. So, and that's kind of where we decided or why we came up with those three things. And Wes was agreeable to him, and good conversation. So, any questions? with the changes, current contract, anything like that?
You answered my questions.
Move to approve resolution 2025-33, approving the city administrator contract.
Second.
Motion second. Any other discussion? Roll call. And the resolution is passed 7-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wes.
Thank you, Wes.
Item number 16, ordinance 2025-8, amending Title 3, Administration, Chapter 31, City Council, Section 31-27, regular meeting, and this is the second reading. And once again, this is changing the meeting date to the first and third Monday of each month. And I would assume the retreat is, would probably fall on that fifth Monday of each month as well. Just a guess. It's whatever the mayor wants to do.
I've heard nothing from the public on this. I don't know if you have or not.
I have not heard anything. I'll put forward ordinance amending or 2025-8, amending Title 3, Administration, Chapter 31, City Council, Section 31-27, the regular meeting.
I'll second.
You have motion second. Any other discussion?
Just confirming that start meeting in July.
Yes, which would be
7th.
July 7th. July 7th would officially be, if the third reading passes, which would be the next, the first meeting in June would be the decision. So, roll call. And the ordinance has passed second reading 7-0. Item number 17, the action on the appointment of Parker Bolte to the Wayne America Board, and this is replacing Jill Rodderson.
I'll make a motion to approve Parker to the Wayne America Board.
Second.
Motion on second. Any comments? Concerns?
I'm excited to be a part of it. I was really, really excited when Jill approached me about it, and I think it's just, I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward to just getting a little bit more involved. So.
Okay. Roll call.
You got this down.
Right.
I don't.
So good at it.
And Parker Bolt has been appointed to the Wayne America Board.
Thanks,
7-0. Next item, action on the appointment of Lincoln Habronik to the Wayne Housing Authority. I know no backstory with this, with Jill asking Lincoln, or did Lincoln approach?
A little bit of both, actually. Well, Trin McBride is the director of, we always, you think of Wayne Housing Authority, you think of Villa, it's Villa Wayne, right? The Wayne Villa. And so they have, I think they've got 5 board members. This one, I believe, I want to say Peg Lutt, I believe, is going off of the board. And so there was an opening. I reached out to Trin to ask if she had, she actually reached out to us and said we've got an opening. And they couldn't think of anybody, so they put it in our lap. We had one individual that we were hoping for, and she thought it might be kind of more of a conflict because they worked with in housing and different things. And so we looked at the demographics of the Wayne Villa. You think of Wayne Villa being an elderly housing for the elderly, right? And it's all based on income. So you have a handful of younger people, a lot of college students, and other younger people that live there as well. So it's very diverse. It's not just an elderly housing. So looked at to represent all demographics, trying to be as correct as possible with that. And Lincoln Habronik's name came up, thinking that, well, you know, a lot of times you go to the banks, right, because they can get off. The bankers allow them off at 10 o'clock to go to a meeting during the day. And so we wanted something other than bankers all the time. And we already had a couple on there. And so kind of looked at the insurance industry. And so Parker's name came up. Lincoln's name came up. And Trin actually recommended him after we were talking a little bit about maybe somebody of a different demographic on the board and stuff. So. Yeah, Lincoln was happy to do it. And Jill knows him very well, and so he plays a mean saxophone.
He does.
So not that that's going to help him in his housing authority business, but so anyway, Jill definitely recommends her appointment of Lincoln Habronik.
Okay.
That was probably too much. Sorry.
That was perfect, Wes.
I'll move to approve the appointment of Lincoln Abronik to the Wayne Housing Authority.
Second. Motion and second. Any other discussion? Roll call. And Lincoln Abronik has been appointed to the Wayne Housing Authority 7-0. Next item, discussion review of city investment policy, city checking account. This is something that we discuss every year, correct, Wes?
Well, about every year. Internally, we definitely do. I don't know, the last time we publicly talked about the investment policy was probably when, if you remember, a name of Nebraska class came forward and wanted to be considered, like we could have NPATE right now that's outside the community. And so that did not go anywhere. That did not get voted. I don't think we even took any action at all that time. Last time investment policies was amended, what did you say?
2019.
And at that time, the amendments were, you may see the draft in here, the current investment policy. It was that we changed bank names from First National Bank to Elkhorn Valley, or Elkhorn Valley, and State Nebraska, National at the time was the State of Nebraska, and Farmers and Merchants went to F&M. So those were the changes. It was just names. This time around, the only thing that I guess Beth and I would kind of make the recommendation to, or at least maybe to think about, is we currently have a 75 basis points. So, for example, if NPATE or Ameriprise would come in at a CD rate, and this is all on just CDs, CD rate that is 75 basis points above a local bank, we could then go to, or we have to go to them with the money. If it's below 75 basis points, we automatically have to disqualify them. Then it's to the highest local bank, with four local banks, we have to go with one of them. We've had some discussion on if the local banks have an advantage, right, over the outside investment firm, should the local investment firm have any incentive or a breaking point there. So the thought was, does Justin Davis is who really every time you go out for bids, Justin usually bids something. He's never gotten it, and right now probably won't. And I don't know if he would at the 50 basis points is what our kind of our internal conversation has been. And again, this is just for discussion purposes. We won't be making decisions tonight. But that was kind of our thought, was does he, you know, again, you're trying to the locals that are sitting on your different boards and all that kind of stuff. You know, Justin's a school board member and, you know, involved in the community versus somebody sitting in Lincoln who has no vested interest in your community, right? So should they get some type of a break? I don't know. That's just something that Beth and I have talked about. So you guys can give us feedback on that either tonight or at some other point. That's on the investment policy side. And then jumping into the city checking account, we have talked internally, and this actually came up in Nebraska class when they first approached us. I don't know, whenever it was, in
2 years ago,
like or so, they were talking about how we could possibly pool cash and do some things and have our checking account in, I always call it a sweep account. I don't know, from the bankers in the room, if that's what it's the terminology, and I call it a sweep account, where you invest your money during the day, it comes back into the bank at night or whatever, and then you have access to it and it's liquid. Again, the Nebraska class didn't go anywhere, but the concept kind of stuck with us. And so the thought is, do we do an RFP to the local banks and have them bid on something? And, you know, they'd be bidding on apples to apples, and whatever that might look like, but try to get a little more competitive rate on the checking account. We've taken out as much money out of our checking account as possible, and of trying to putting in into other investments, especially when investments were at 5% or so. We're trying to get as much out of that as possible. Beth's done a great job with that. I'm always hounding her to get more and more out of that account, but she's even more conservative than I am, and she wants to keep make sure it's as liquid as possible in that account. So I've talked too much. Do you have other things, Beth, or what questions you guys have for us? If that's something you'd like to see us pursue?
I guess my main comments on it would just be, you know, it's spelled out very clearly for me on the CDs that it, you know, the local bank that has the highest rate, the funds go there. The investment firms have to have 75 basis points. If something goes out to bid on the checking account, I want it to be just as clear that there's no gray area on that. And I would also want a time frame on that, just because there is a lot of work involved in switching things over. We have a lot of ACH and automatics and things like that. I wouldn't want to be doing this yearly or every 2 years. I mean, ideally, I would think even maybe every 5 years or something like that if we went that route.
There's been different the school, and again, bankers never make, and maybe you could correct me, the school used to just rotate. Mm-hmm. Every 3 years, they would just rotate. And I think at one point, maybe one of the banks that we're going to go to couldn't handle their deposits or whatever at the time, and so then they stopped doing that. And I don't know where they're at currently. I have no idea. Doesn't matter from our standpoint, I guess. But I don't know if we're into wanting to just simply rotate with banks. We're just looking at interest rates. I mean, we're looking at the money that we might be able to get on some interest rates. And having it as liquid as possible, so we're not trying to break CDs and things like that. Although our CDs are very much laddered, and you know, they come due at different times all the time throughout the year. So, and we only are doing 12-month CDs right now. It's just something that we kind of internally decided. That's kind of our ladder approach. So,
what are the statutory constraints? It states doing everything based in statute, but is there anything that Nebraska doesn't allow? Like, I know money market funds have a high rate of return, but is that allowed? Or
money markets? Yeah. Yeah, we have money markets. We're not investing in mutual funds or things like that. Our riskiest investment are CDs.
Mm-hmm. For best sake, I don't think that we would want to do this more than every like 4 or 5 years, because mm-hmm. Changing it over is a big process. But I also like the idea of reviewing everything every couple of years to make sure that it is competitive and we're using the money.
And full disclosure, right now our checking account is with State Nebraska Bank. And I mean, that's a public document. We've got our investments all lined out.
And this would just be local banks again. We wouldn't be talking to like the...
Well, so I will say that's completely up to the city council, but our recommendation would be you would allow 4 different banks to bid on this. That would be my recommendation to you.
The one change I just saw, and you can correct me, but you would change State National Bank to State Nebraska Bank, and I think it's State Nebraska Bank and Trust, isn't it? In Trust at the end? So just mm-hmm. make that change.
Yep.
Because it was already changed to Elkhorn Valley Bank and Trust. And so.
Yeah, we would have to bring it back to you for that change. I mean, that sounds funny, but.
Well, it's in there on the approval. It's redlined.
Those were the strikes that Betty had in 2019.
Yeah, this is what's current. The red is what's current.
The red is current, yes, right now. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure why she did it that way.
But we would need to add interest to it. When,
if we do any type of thing, which we could then add something to it stating the checking account would be the same type of thing, or you would just say only those 4 local banks would have. And that would also protect the local banks from it going to the NPATES or the Nebraska class, which Nebraska class wouldn't be an option right now, but to Edward Jones or Ameriprise or NPATE at this time, because those are the 3 investment firms that are listed. Had some conversations with Edward Jones of just taking him off the list because they never bid, and Mike Varley has said, you can take us off, you can leave, whatever, but they never even respond, and we know that.
I mean, I'm happy to keep the local banks. I'm happy with the 50 basis points as well. I mean, making that change makes sense. Does that give you guys a little bit more flexibility with that? Does that give us any other advantages?
I'll tell you right now, it wouldn't. What we've seen in the last 3-4 years, it wouldn't have mattered.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But I just think that is it a goodwill? Our thing is, if you're giving the local banks, again, they're the ones that are, their employees are in your community doing the things that we expect, right, employees to do. I think we're just kind of a shot in the face to our local investment firms.
Sure.
We've already said you've got to compete at a higher rate, right? You have to bring more in, you have to have a higher rate to us,
yeah.
But you're differentiating it with that. Or sure, the bankers would love to see, instead of going down by 25 basis points, you go up 25 basis points to, you leave it at 75 and say, well, NPAT now has to come in at a full percentage, at 100 basis points. I mean, that you could do too. I just think there might be some differentiation between the two.
Okay.
So, again, I just throw those numbers out. You guys can decide on the actual number,
yeah,
if you want to do anything.
Well, I mean, if you're saying you want to make that much of a difference, like, I'm fine with, again, maybe it's a goodwill thing, or just as potentially offering more, bit more options.
So when, coming back from COVID,
sure,
right, the investment firms just react to the market so much faster.
Sure.
And again, please help me out, guys, if I'm saying something wrong. They can react so much quicker. And when we went to NPAT for two CDs, and it was literally for 1 year, because back to base rates, whatever, they couldn't compete. And honestly, our banks are beating NPAT every time. I mean, there's no comparison right now. If it's stable, right, and rates are just going up and down a little bit, there's no really real competition.
Sure.
But when it major swings, they can react faster. And we hit it, it was just at that right time of, there was a big swing, and they were able to offer more than banks, and we had to go with them. I mean,
gotcha.
Investment policy is black and white. We don't get there's no discretion there.
Any other questions?
Public?
Nope. Public can speak. Just say your name and address, please.
Matt Lay, CEO of State Nebraska Bank, 122 Main in 1010, personal address 219 Fairway Circle. I feel like the big thing I really need to educate the board on every so often is, where does that money go? If you guys go with Justin, where do you think that money goes? Your taxpayer funds. Does it stay in Wayne? No. He sends that right off to wherever, Edward Jones or whoever it is, sends it. That money that's in the checking and investment accounts, the way we go, is it's invested in loans here in Wayne. So you're going to take taxpayer money, and you're going to send it out of the state sometimes, out of the country sometimes, to make other people use that investment instead of keeping it waiting. So that's one big thing, saying, oh, Justin, I love Justin, great friend of mine. Justin sends it out, maybe gets a commission of $500, and then it's gone. That's what he does with it. Do you mind if I approach?
Don't ask me.
we take those funds. We have 30 full FTEs, full-time equivalents. Payroll is $1.5 million last year, total compensation $2.5 million. We spent with local vendors $250,000 in the last year, $150,000 in nonprofit on above and beyond that. That's what's happening with the funds you have. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that's where it's at, but that's where we are on the thing here. We give 2,000 hours of public service across 60 different organizations. Saying we should be looked at the exact same thing with three employees just doesn't make sense to me. Like, your funds are allowing us, and the public funds of Wayne in general, the school, the county, Northeast Nebraska, public power, anything like that, allows us to have the scale to do the things that we do. So the big thing I want to say on investments in general is the 0.75, I don't know what the right number is. Unluckily, as Wes said, rates go up, rates go down. When rates 2 years ago were at 1%, that 0.75 was a huge. Now rates are at 5% or 4%, that 0.75 isn't as big of a deal. So, you know, in a perfect world, it'd be a percentage of the overall bid or something like that, but I also don't want to make that easy life more complicated than it already is. So I think, I can't speak for all bankers, but I think the 0.75 is okay. We're competing amongst ourselves, the four local banks, on that side of things. So I'm going to end on that part of that side. The second thing is on the checking account. To be honest, I'm not even sure if it would be part of the investments, because reading through the investment policy, your operating funds and your investment funds seem separate to me. I will say I believe that the city of Wayne has banked with State Nebraska Bank for as long as my father could remember. So tens and tens of years. on that side. Back in the day, the county kind of was with, at that time, First National Bank, which was a local bank at that point, obviously not anymore. Then FMN was a little later to the game, and so they had some investment accounts. But we all kind of worked together on that side of things. You know, looking at this sheet, you know, it's hard not to get a little offended by that. You send it out of our company that has 165 million in loans to our neighbors. That's easily, I bet, three times as many as the other two banks, just because we're the last local bank. I think the most employees that another bank would have would be six, maybe eight. Somebody could tell me different. Again, we're at 30, including our CFO, our CEO, our chief lending officer, our bookkeeping, our loan servicing. So a lot of people in this room have been affected by our bank, and for that to move to, I'm going to be honest, to a non-local bank, the definition of local banks there is a little off, and I work with all the bankers in town to try to make Wayne better, but the CEO of the other banks don't think, every morning I come to work thinking how I can improve Wayne. The CEO of Elkhorn doesn't do that. The CEO of Bank First does not do that, and the CEO of FNM does not do that. I make decisions that are dumb. The campus branch is stupid. There's no reason for me to do that other than to improve our city and our community, and that's what we think about every day. So I just want to kind of say that in the big generic thought of self. I've been here 15 years. Father's been here 50 years. The checking account's never been bid out. Some of that was kind of our work with at that point First National and the county, but it's hard not to take a little bit of a zinger there. If we came into your town with these kind of numbers, I can imagine the incentives that Wayne would throw at me to say, I'm going to put $165 million in loan into your town. I'm going to put 30 FTEs and $1.5 million in salaries. So I just want to say that, you know, we feel like we've done enough to help improve this community, that we hope that the value is seen by the city council as well. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Matt.
There's anyone else wants to speak? Is there opportunity? If not, is there any other discussion, comments from council?
So we have what we call an audit committee right now that we're trying to make also a finance committee. We can also have those three individuals talk about it, and that would be Matt, Jill, and Austin currently. So, I mean, that's also a recommendation that you could do that as well. So.
There's nothing further. We'll move on, and meeting is adjourned.